AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. And as usual on Tuesdays, we're joined by Patrick Coulican, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. MinnesotaReformer.com is the website, as we'll be talking through a few of the articles that they've been working on the Reformer, and also get Patrick's take on what's been happening in the 2022 statewide races here in Minnesota. Patrick, welcome back to the show. Good to have you on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So let's start off with what's on the front page of MinnesotaReformer.com. And the title of the piece is, "She reported sexual abuse on the job. The boss told her it was consensual." And this has to do with the Viking Lakes apartment complex that's being built near the Vikings' new training complex. And you might remember this Vikings training complex. These apartment units were being built by a subcontractor that's had a number of labor violations over the years. And, well, now they're in the news again. As a cleaning worker says, she was raped and repeatedly sexually assaulted at Viking Lakes and other construction sites under investigation for widespread wage theft. Norma Izaguirre connected with a man named Diego Medina, who helped her get a job with Absolute Drywall, one of the subcontractors that's working on the Viking Lakes units. And several months after she started this job, Medina started making sexual advances. Izaguirre said Medina would seek her out on the job while she tried to avoid him. Eventually, there were multiple instances where she was sexually assaulted. She ended up reporting to management what happened, and that's where some of the issues really started. So, Patrick, overall, this is an ugly situation that's happened with this subcontractor yet again, and it sounds like management didn't necessarily take her allegations all this seriously, correct?
Right, and I think we should start from the beginning. Viking Lakes is a project of the Vikings' Wilf family. They've built this multi-use kind of sprawling development around Vikings headquarters and training facilities and so forth. And I am in many parts of the project, including and separately the Vikings Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium downtown, have been built with union labor, but they went with the cheapest non-union bid on some of these apartments. And they were warned that one of these subcontractors they were using, Absolute Drywall, had this kind of spotty history. And they ignored those warnings and went ahead with Absolute Drywall. We reported first on this in May that dozens of the workers are saying that they're owed thousands of dollars in wages that were not paid to them. And this is how we first came upon this really horrific story of a worker who says she was sexually assaulted on the job site. What's equally disturbing is the behavior, the alleged behavior of management here when she went to them and alerted them to the situation. Their response was that she actually had a consensual relationship and that it all happened off-site. Police in Egan did not agree, and they collected evidence and sent their investigation to Dakota County prosecutors, who wound up charging this individual. If you believe Dakota County prosecutors, this happened on the site, on the job site. It's a pretty horrific situation. And for us, one of the reasons it's so important is because it really highlights the fact that women, especially in male-dominated industries, and especially in a situation like this, we have a vulnerable immigrant worker, they face these kinds of this harassment, discrimination, and in the worst case scenario, assaults. Far more than workers, first of all, at union sites, but also in the broader workforce. So we really need to do more. Government authorities need to do more to protect workers who are the most vulnerable like this.
through the entire piece, the allegations are disturbing with what happened, because management originally, well, would try to send her to sites where this other guy, Diego Medina, was not, but he ended up following her to many of these sites, and that's where the assaults continued to go for quite some time. And I think another thing to highlight as well is that, as we mentioned, this is a non-union shop, and while she did report what happened to management, well, she obviously does not have as many protections without that union to make a more formal complaint, as it sounds like really no one on the company was advocating for her during this entire ordeal.
That's right. And I don't think anybody would claim that a union job site is perfect, or that union workers don't also suffer from harassment, discrimination, and assault. But at least there's a better process in place. More ways to seek redress of your grievances. And I think that, again, we see the Wilf family making a decision on this project that seems like it was ill-advised.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, I remember back in May when the Reformer first reported on this, that they were warned by many union shops saying, well, that there's a reason why the costs are going to be so low when you use these types of contractors and subcontractors, because oftentimes they're going to be cutting corners when it comes to employee relations, and that's exactly what we've seen. What comment have we been hearing from the Vikings so far on the matter, if any?
They don't say, they've said nothing, and they've said they were unaware of the charges that were brought. They also say they haven't been contacted regarding the alleged wage theft, which makes you wonder exactly what the state Department of Labor and Industry is doing, or what is the status of that investigation, because those complaints were brought to them quite a long time ago. And I think it's important for everyone involved that these kinds of complaints be investigated quickly. Understandably, they want to be thorough, but but these things ought to be done quicker than this, so that the workers and management can get some clarity.
Yeah, and to make sure that they don't continue as well, because it sounded like, as we brought up earlier, that management's solution was just to send her to different sites, but unfortunately those assaults continued as he was following her to these different construction sites that they were working on. And is there anything that could happen with absolute drywall? Because, as you mentioned, they contended that this whole situation was consensual, but it seems pretty clear that it wasn't. So what's going to be happening next in this case? I know Dakota County has gotten involved in prosecuting this man as well.
So the man's been charged. He's absconded. He's thought to be in Mexico. Norma has filed a complaint with the State Department of Human Rights, which is investigating. And so, again, she's waiting. It's been some time now already. And let's hope that state authorities are able to move a little more swiftly to ensure that her rights are being protected.
Well, make sure you read that piece. It is in the Minnesota Reformer, right on the front page, titled "She Reported Sexual Abuse on the Job. The boss told her it was consensual." It's an important read because, as we brought up, this is not an uncommon thing that can happen in male-dominant industries. So make sure you go and read that over at MinnesotaReformer.com. I want to switch now to the political sphere as we wrap up our final few minutes here, Patrick, and let's start off with the Republican candidate Governor Scott Jensen, as he fell for an internet hoax claiming schools are providing litter boxes so children who identify as furries can, well, use them to do their business and urinate in them. Obviously, this is a meme that was spread, I think, a little over a year ago that was clearly proven to be completely false, but here we go, Scott Jensen bringing this up earlier this week, as he made a comment saying that, well, apparently this is still happening in schools, even though it isn't happening and never was happening. So for me, Patrick, this seems to really get his campaign off message, because even though Walz is still probably the clear favorite, at least according to polling, when it comes to the Minnesota governor's race, there was some momentum that could possibly be moving in Jensen's direction, being that some polling is showing Republicans are improving a little bit. But then, more importantly, he possibly could have used this Feeding Our Future scandal as political fodder to try to go off of, to go after Walz. But, well, now he's stuck with this, trying to talk about internet hoaxes that are not completely true at all.
Yeah, he's continued to have a problem getting distracted from what ought to be the main messages of his campaign, which would be the performance of the incumbent and inflation, crime. Now he's got Feeding Our Future. There's all kinds of issues he could be talking about. If he were to remain focused, he would have a real shot at this race. But that's not really his way. It never has been. And so he's got himself tied up in knots, talking about comparing the restriction, the pandemic restrictions, to Nazi Germany. He's been all over the place on abortion, and how he is spouting this internet hoax. The point of it is, I guess, that schools are being are offering too many accommodations to trans students. I think it's an appalling message to begin with, but then you drag out this ridiculous hoax, which he should know that it's a hoax, because I know he's a regular reader of The Reformer, and we reported that it was a hoax back in April, I think it was, when Republican Minnesota House members were spouting this on the House floor, and we reported on it, and everyone had a good laugh. And here we are, whatever, 4 or 5 months later, Jensen is repeating this. And so once again, he loses another day to all this coverage. And the one thing that you can't get back in a campaign is time. There's just a limited number of days for Scott Jensen to introduce himself to the public and explain why he's a better alternative than DFL Governor Tim Walz. And this is just another day he's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, and as you brought up in the newsletter this morning, I mean, it's easy to laugh at this, saying that, haha, he's talking about an internet hoax that is months, if not years old. But ultimately, the point is, well, he's still bullying LGBT kids, and that's certainly not a good thing. So certainly don't lose sight of that, even as you read and hear about this story of Scott Jensen falling for this really stupid internet hoax. I want to move on to one more piece of news, and that has to do with some controversy between the Republican Party trying to possibly sue the DFL party chair, Ken Martin. And that's because the Minnesota GOP Attorney General candidate is Jim Schultz. And he says he's okay with abortion up to 20 weeks. But is he really? As there was the... there was a questionnaire that was sent out by the Minnesota Family Council, and they basically said that they inferred that Schultz would support a 6-week abortion ban. But the Republicans are saying that's not the case at all, and now they're trying to sue Ken Martin, saying, no, Jim Schultz really supports a 20-week abortion ban. So this seems a little unusual, being that you have one political party trying to sue the chair of another political party, and I'm not sure they have a ton of ground in this case, since, as I'm sure you can bring up, this questionnaire sent out by the Minnesota Family Council, technically Schultz didn't answer the question as to whether he would support a 6-week abortion ban. They inferred his position, but certainly there's plenty of evidence that shows that Schultz would probably be in support of a 6-week abortion ban, correct?
Right. I mean, he was on the board of an anti-abortion group called Human Life Alliance, which our own Dina Winter reported back in July. They had a history of spouting some kind of debunked claims about abortion. For instance, that it leads to higher rates of breast cancer and that kind of thing. So he's on the board of this. He gets this endorsement from the Christian right group. He never filled out the questionnaire from them. And they back up his story and say, oh, no, they only inferred his position on abortion. And so they essentially covered for him And I mean, it's just remarkable the idea that this guy suddenly is okay with abortion being legal up to 20 weeks, which is 98% of all abortions. So it's just rather unbelievable. My response was, well, the abortion rights group should invite him to a roundtable and he can talk about how important it is that women and their doctors be able to make these decisions and not the government, people like Jim Schultz. And that's not going to happen because he actually, I suspect, is opposed to abortion. I mean, he says he's pro-life. And what's going on here is that the religious right, the anti-abortion groups are giving him a pass or essentially letting him say whatever he wants if it's going to help him get elected, because they know that he's actually in their corner. As far as the Republican Party suing the DFL over this, as Ken Martin said, go ahead and sue me, because in any lawsuit there'd be some discovery and we would find out quite a bit about Schultz's actual stance on abortion. So that would be quite an interesting lawsuit. I think it's just talk. But it certainly has raised the issue of Schultz's abortion stance, and I'm not sure that that's what he wants.
And that's a great point. Whenever we hear politicians claiming that they're going to sue someone, they oftentimes forget that the other side can perform discovery and, well, some information about yourself that you might not want out in the public could come to light. And you're probably right that this thing would never make it to court, being that, well, there would be discovery and there would be lots of information about Schultz's anti-abortion stances, which is probably the last thing he wants on the campaign trail. So ultimately, this lawsuit probably not going to go anywhere, correct?
I don't foresee an actual lawsuit, no.
I would certainly agree with you on that as well. Well, we are just about out of time, Patrick. We have been speaking with Patrick Kulikan, editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Make sure you follow all the great work they do over at minnesotareformer.com. That's minnesotareformer.com. Patrick, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.